Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Aleph. We're at the Mishnah, four lines from the top. It says in the Mishnah, Hakash Shal Gabi Amita. If one has straw sitting on a bed, and you'd like to lay down on the bed, and the kash is straw, which is muktzah. Rashi says it's designated lahasaka to be used as fuel, which certainly is not useful for Shabbos. It's completely useless. It's inherently muktzah, so it can't be moved at all. Lo yina'anenu biyada. He shouldn't go and move the kash, the straw, using his hands. Ela mananeya begufa. Rather, he can do so using his guf, his body, for instance, his shoulder, to smooth out, even out the straw on the bed. However, if the kash was designated for animal feed, in which case it's not muktzah, or if there was already a kar, a pillow, or sudden, which is a sheet, on the straw which is on the bed, so this sheet or this pillow was present from before Shabbos, which indicates that it was miyuchad, it was designated for lying on it, for personal use, in this case, he can't go ahead and move around the straw using his hands because it is no longer regarded as muktzah. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Rashi is three lines from the top, Masnisin, Hakasha Hamita, Ustoma La'asaka. We assume that this kash, a straw, is designated for asaka, for fueling purposes, Umuktzu, Uba Lishkav Alav. And he'd like to lie down on this bed, Umananeyai. And he goes and he moves around. He'd like to move around the kash, Kadeshi, it's saf, Virach, so that it's fluffy and soft, lishkav, to lie on it. Lo yina'anenu biyadoi demuktzu. He can't use his hands because it's muktzu. Avol mananei begufoi, b'kseifa, he can use his shoulders. V'tiltu menatzadu, it's considered to be an indirect moving of muktzu. De lo yishmei tiltu, we don't reckon this as muktzu, as tiltu, as moving the muktzu. Oy shehoyolov karik sodin, by putting the pillow or a sheet, what this does is, the Goli Daite, he has revealed his intention, he has demonstrated the Aktsai L'Shchiva, that he has been miyachid, designated for purposes of lying at it, me'ata teres kli olav. So going forward, we regard this as a kli, it's not something which is inherently useless, it's considered something which is useful, which is serving this person who is going to lie on it. Let's take a look at the Mishnah further. Machbe shel bali batim. So machbish was a garment press. So this wasn't a professional press. It was shalbali batim of homeowners. Matirim avaloi kovshin. He can go ahead and undo it, but he can't go ahead and clamp it down. So Rashi describes this press as a clamp which had two boards. So you have a board on bottom, you put the garment, and then an additional board on top. And there was some poles and pegs which kept everything together. So the machbish shalbali batim, this homeowner machbish, which Rashi describes as something which they wouldn't really clamp down that hard, that tight. It wasn't fastened so tightly. So this thing, one can go ahead and loosen it, matirin, undo it, avaloi kovshin, but he can't go ahead and clamp it down. So he can undo it to remove his garment, but he can't clamp it down, in which case he's preparing for tomorrow because it won't be ready until after Shabbos, and therefore he can't do this. He can't begin the process on Shabbos. Vishal kovshin, however, the clamp, this clothing press, which belongs to the kovshin, the launderer, so it was a professional variety. Lo yigaboy, he may not touch it, meaning he can't even open it to remove the garment. Rashi explains, since it's intended for fixing the garment, straightening it out, apparently the domestic use one was not such a tightly fastened one, it was merely to perhaps maintain the shape of the clothing. This one was meant to be misaken, to repair it, to fix it, to actually press it properly. So this was done, this was fastened tightly. Therefore, lo yigabe, he can't touch it, he can't even open it, because Rashi says, it's doimilistira. It appears like he's demolishing a structure. So you can't even open it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, if it was already partially loosened from before Shabbos, matris kuloi, he can completely undo the clamp, v'shoimtoi, and remove his garment. Continues the Gemara, Omar of Nachman, Hai Pugla, this radish which they used to place into the ground, into the earth for storage, Melamala Lamata Shari. So if the wide head of the radish, so the head is wide and then it tapers down to the point on bottom. So if it was placed in the earth in this manner, milamala lamata, the wide head on top and the narrow portion on bottom, shari, then one doesn't need to hesitate to actually pull it out from the ground. Now obviously we're speaking that some of the leaves were exposed, so it needs just to lift the leaf and pull out the radish. Milamata lamala osir. However, if this radish was upside down, so it was milamata, meaning the wide head was on bottom, and lamala, it was going from wide to narrow, milamata lamala, so the head was on bottom and the narrow portion was on top. Osir, in this case, there's a problem. He can't pull it out. Why? Because he's going to have to move around. When he pulls the radish, he's going to have to eject the earth which accumulated around the narrow portion of the radish. So he's moving muktzah. Says the Gemara, Omar of Ada bar Abba, Amri b'Rav. So they said in the Beis Medrash of Rav, Tanina like Rav Nachman, our Mishnah indicates otherwise. Because in our Mishnah we learned that one can do something if it's indirectly. And Rav Nachman does not allow moving the radish, since he's going to be moving the earth, even though it's indirectly. So our Mishnah teaches us, unlike the Shita of Rav Nachman. The Mishnah says, Akash al gabi mita. If he has straw on his bed, lo yina nenu biyod, he can't move it using his hand, he can't directly manipulate the muktzah, avo manan begufay, but he can manipulate it using his body. If it was animal feed, if there was already, from before Shabbos, a car, a pillow, or a sudden, a sheet, then there's no concern because it's not muktzah. Shmamina, so we deduce from this Mishnah, we hear that tiltul menat sad, an indirect moving of muktzah, lo yishmei tiltul, that is not regarded as moving muktzah. He's not directly related to the muktzah, and therefore there's no concern. Shmamina, indeed, this is a raya. So our Mishnah is a raya, is a proof, the like Rav Nachman, not like the shita of Rav Nachman. Now the Rosh asks the kasha, how could you compare the two things? How could you compare the heter in our Mishnah, the Mishnah that allows moving the straw, using his body? He's not using his hands at all. He's using his shoulder, for instance. So it's not a direct tiltal. How could you compare that to Rav Nachman, where, although he's not touching the earth directly, but he's using his hand to pull out the radish? So he's making use of the proper aver, the proper limb. He's being metaltal in the ordinary, typical manner of using his hands. So that's a more direct tiltal, perhaps. Why is the Mishnah a raya, a proof to undo Rav Nachman's halacha? Says the Rosh. But in our Mishnah, the point of moving the straw is not just to get it out of the way. It's letzorech, the muktzah. He's trying to use the muktzah. He's manipulating the muktzah, he's adjusting the straw so that he can lie on it, so he can use it. So it has one advantage, that he's using the wrong body part, he's using his shoulder, which is a very indirect way of relating to an item. However, on the other side of things, he's actually doing it for the sake of using the muktzah itself. So there's one advantage and one disadvantage. Likewise, in the case of Rav Nachman, although he's using his hand to pull out the radish, but the purpose there is just to pull out the radish. He has absolutely no benefit from the earth, which is being ejected. So it's letzorech davar mutter. He's moving it for the sake of the mutter object. So on the one hand, there's a disadvantage. There's a chesaron, because he's using his hand, which is a direct contact, which is a typical way of moving things. But what's the sake? What's the purpose here? What's the tachlis? He's simply trying to take the davar hamutter, the radish. So you have a benefit, you have a mila, an advantage, and you have a disadvantage. So in both cases, there's a factor in favor and a factor against. So that is the pshat. That's how we understand the Gemara's comparison between one halacha and the other, indeed, and now Mishnah, which indicates that there's no concern of indirect tiltal. Likewise, in the case of Nachman, it would be mutter, and therefore the Mishnah proves us the like Rav Nachman. Continues the Gemara. Omar of Yehuda, high pilpili, these peppers which were used for seasoning, which they would crush them. Meidak chada chada, if he crushes one at a time, bekata de sakina, using a very unusual manner, using a handle of a knife. Shari, that's allowed, because he's doing it derech shinui, deviating from the normal way of chopping these peppers, which would be using a grinder or a mortar. Therefore, it's us. Tarti also, but if he chops two at a time, it would be also be considered a malach of toichen. So although he's deviating, he's using a handle of a knife, it's not enough. He needs to do it in a non-typical fashion, and also regarding the quantity, it has to be one at a time, which is a small portion, which is not the way usually people would do it. Perhaps this looks like he's just preparing a personal portion for his meal. It's something personal, something which is considered to be the derech achila, perhaps. In any case, he needs two factors in favor, two different elements of deviation, the tool that he's using and the amount that he's crushing. Rav Amar, no, there's no need to crush one at a time, given the Mishnah, since he's already deviating using this unconventional tool, the handle of a knife. Therefore, I feel tu v'nami, even if he chooses to crush many, much at a time, that is sufficient shinui, that's considered to be a sufficient deviation, which allows. Now, the Shibboleth Lakhet asks, why isn't this asur midrabbanan? We know that generally when there's a malacha in a Torah and somebody would do something which is similar, it symbolizes that malacha, it would be asur midrabbanan. So why in this case do we allow him to crush, to doing a malacha of toichen, even though he's doing a derech shinui? Why isn't it asur midrabbanan? So he says, because this type of shinui is so, it's so in contrast to the typical, to the ordinary manner of crushing these things. Therefore, it's such a severe and obvious, drastic shinoi, and is not even asur midrabbanan. Continues the Gemara. Om Rav Yehuda, man de sochi b'maya, one who swims, takes a dip, rinses himself in the water, for instance, in the river, which is considered to be a karmelis. It's an unfenced area, is a rishus midrabbanan, which does not allow carrying four amis in that rishus. So what should he do? So that he avoids carrying the water. Lin giv nafshi b'reshim. So prior to emerging, he should dry himself, and then come out of the water. Why? Perhaps he's going to carry the water which is on him. He'll carry four amis and a caramel. Therefore, on his way out, he must make sure that he doesn't travel with that water on him at a distance of four amis. If that's a concern, says the Gemara, if so, likewise, when he descends into the water, there's a concern because dochi koichai, his force, his koich pushes the water, dald amis vasur, and it should be also, is when he's going down to the water, the force of his movement will push the water away, and it will travel four amis. And why isn't that a problem? Says the Gemara, koichai bekarmelis legozru. This isn't a direct carrying, it's merely using his force. Since it's merely a shistur aponon, the chachamim were lenient and did not prohibit transferring, merely using his koyach when we're discussing a karmelis. So in summary, we discussed three different scenarios, halachis, where one does something out of the ordinary, shaloi kederech, and it's mutar. We discussed our Mishnah, which told us that tiltul muktza min atzad, this is a way of describing the indirect tiltul using his guf, in the case of the Gemara, pulling out the radish, where he's just moving the muktza in an indirect way, that is mutar. We learned about crushing the pilpulin using an unconventional manner, the handle of a knife. According to Rav Nachman, according to Rav Yehuda, needs to be one at a time, according to Rava, even many. That is also mutter because he is doing it in an unconventional manner. And finally, we learned about transferring something in a karmelis. If it's merely doing it indirectly, using his koyach, his force, that is okay. Continues the Gemara. Amar Abayi, v'itema, some say it was Rabbi Yehuda, titshal gabri raglev, one has some mud stuck on his foot, mekanchei bekarka, he scrapes it off on the floor, on the ground, vein mekanchei bekoisel, rather than doing it on the wall. That he can't do. Amar Rav, my time in bekoisel, why not on the wall? What's wrong? Shun de mechse kibayin, it appears like he's building, because he's adding this mud to the existing structure. Therefore, he's meant to do it on the ground, not on the wall. Is that the reason? Says Rava, how does that work? It's considered to be a building, a structure of chaklah. Chaklah means like a village or a farmer. This is not your typical building. Generally, people don't build using mud. This is not considered to be boina. Even if he really intends on building this type of structure, minat Torah, it wouldn't be considered a malacha. Now, with the Rabban, certainly he can't do it. But in this case, he's merely scraping his foot off, scraping the mud off on the wall. Why would you consider that to be a problem at all? Ela Marava, just the opposite. he should scrape it off on the wall. However, he shouldn't scrape it on the floor. Why? He might come to straighten out the floor which involves a malacha. Now the Ron explains, the concern here is that perhaps he's going to look for some imperfection in the ground where he can effectively scrape that, that would help him scrape the mud off his foot into that imperfection, and thereby resulting in him doing a malacha of chayrish, if it's the outside, or if it's in the home, it's a malacha of bayna, straightening out, smoothing out the floor. So Rava maintains, better do it on the wall than on the floor. Itma we learned, Mar Breda Ravina Amar, Mar the son of Runi said, Echot ze vechot ze asr. In both cases, it's asr. You can't do it on the wall on account of the concern of Abaye. It appears like building. You can't do it on the floor on account of Rav's concern of Ashvuy Gumis. So either way, you're stuck. Rav Papa Amar, Echot ze vechot ze mutar. Neither case, it's mutar. He holds just the opposite. There's no concern on the wall because he holds. It's not Derech Binyan. Regarding on the floor, he's not concerned that he's going to smooth out the floor. It's a davar shein miskaven. He doesn't really intend, he doesn't have kavana to smooth out the floor. And Rashi brings that we hold like Rav Shimon, davar shein miskaven mutar. So we have four shittas. Either do it on the floor, do it on the wall, none of them, or both of them. Says the Gemara, now according to the shita, it doesn't allow any. Lemar bre darvina, b'may mekanchle. What is he going to scrape his foot on? Mechanically, bekoira, they scrape it on a koira, on a beam, a wooden beam, which is lying there on the floor, in which case there's no concern of any of the above isurim, of baina or shvui gumais, so that is a good option. Omar Rava, loylesiv inish, a person should be careful not to sit when he's holding a an object, apume de lechaya, by the mouth of the lechi. And we're speaking about a mavi, an alleyway which leads into shesarabim, as we learned that the Chacham required one to place a lechi, a side post, by the entranceway to the alleyway to call attention to its separateness from Shusurabim. That one should realize that the Mavi is an enclosed area, and therefore one can carry in the Mavi, as opposed to Shusurabim, where one cannot carry. So Rabbi says one should take care not to engage in an activity, not to hold on to things there by the opening of the Mavi, apume de lechaya. So he's sitting alongside the lechi, where the lechi is not so visible to him. Why? Because the lechi is really a post which is flush to the wall. So if he's on the inside of the lechi, he sees the lechi coming up, he says, oh, I'm in a mavi, this is a place which is different than Shusurabim. However, if he's sitting alongside the lechi, so the lechi is on his side, so he doesn't really notice because it's flush to the wall, he doesn't really notice that he's sitting opposite the lechi. And as far as he's concerned, he's not really sitting in a place which is separate from Shusurabim. So what's the concern? Dilma, there's a concern, perhaps, Megandera lechefetz. So the chefetz that he's holding will roll down into Shusurabim. And he might be tempted to go bring it from the Shusurabim to the Mavi. He won't realize, well, the Shusurabim is a different domain than the Mavi. Vamarava. Vloglitzadid inish kuba. There's a girsa ba'ara. A person should not position a barrel on the floor. Dilma osila shvui gumis, because he might be tempted to smooth out those pits, those imperfections, in order to place his barrel properly. Vamarava lihadik inish udra, a person should not tightly fasten this rag, Rashi says muchen, some type of materials, but puma de shisha, into the mouth, the opening of the pach, of this bucket, of this pitcher. Why? Dilma osila de schita. Because this might lead him to do schita, because this material might be wet, and might force it into the opening. He might be squeezing out the liquid, in which case is a malacha, either a malacha of dosh, because he's extracting liquid from the rag, or perhaps a malacha of melabin, because he's cleaning the rag from its liquid. So there's a concern, don't affix it tightly. Omar of Khan, getting back to the mud on one's shoe, on one's clothing, on one's body, titch al gabi bigda. If one has mud sitting on his beged, how does he clean himself? Mekaska soim bifnim. He can scrape it off from the inside, meaning only on the inside surface of the beged, opposite the mud, so the mud on the outside. He can't scrape it off on the outside, but he must. He can scrape it on the inside, so he scrapes the material behind the spot there, and he loosens the material. In this way, perhaps the mud will slip off. mekaskasim b'fnim ve'ein mekaskasim b'chutz. He cannot go ahead and scrape the material on the outside surface. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi has four lines from the bottom. Mekaskasim b'shavshifoy. So he rubs it mibifnim on the inside surface. Loy mucha milsa, because it's not visible and apparent. Lischazuy k'malabim. And it doesn't appear like he's being malabin, like he's cleaning his garment. Umalabin mamash lehavi. Now Rashi points out that certainly if he would scrape even the outside, he wouldn't be committing a malacha of malabin. The einois in shamayim, since he's not placing water. So Rashi maintains that only if he actually uses water is he performing the malacha malabin. Scraping is only a malacha derabbanan. So if he does it on the inside surface, it doesn't appear like he's really cleaning it properly, and therefore it is mutter. Kiskus, says Rashi, dummi lemachabis, it appears like he's laundering his garment. Now the Mishnah Brewer points out that apparently he was speaking that the spot will still remain, although the mud will fall off, but a spot will still remain, some dirt will still remain behind, and therefore it's not considered to be a malach of melabin midarais, meaning what Rashi points out, that not using water avoids the malacha, because Rashi evidently speaking when there'll still be some mark remaining behind, in which case he's not really properly cleaned his garment, therefore it's not a malacha deraisa, it's only a rabbinic concern, therefore when he's mekaskis on the inside of the beged, that mitigates that concern, and therefore he's allowed to. Continues the Gemara. Meisve. So if Kana told us he can go ahead and scrub it from the inside, there's no issur derabbanan, we have a braisa which indicates otherwise. Tichal gabi min ole. If one has mud sitting on his shoe, Megararoy begav sakin, you can scrape it off using the back of a knife, meaning the dull side of the knife. Mishal bigdoy, mud which is present on his beged, megararoy betzipren, he can scrape it off using his nail. Ubavashle is kaskis, as long as he doesn't go and scrub it, scrub the material properly. So kaskis means that he's taking the materials, rubbing it against each other. That he can't do. He can use his nail, but not to be mekaskis. Says the Gemara, okay, so you see that kiskus, rubbing the material against each other, is a problem. My love, shlei kaskis kal, apparently the Bais does not allow kiskus at all, even if he's doing it on the inside surface of his beged. So this is unlike Rav Kahana, who allows. Says the Gemara, loy, no, shlei kaskis machutz. He shouldn't scrub the material against each other on the outside surface, where the stain is present. Elam ifnim, rather he can do it on the inside, in accordance with Rav Kahana's halach. Omar Rabavo. Amar Belaz, Amar Aviane, Megarin Minal Chodesh. One can scrape mud off a new shoe, Avaloy Yoshin, but not off an old shoe. Let's take a look at Rashi, the bottom line here. Avaloy Yoshin says Rashi shall kofa, because he's peeling it. He's shaving off the fibers from his old shoe. Vavi Mimachik, he's doing a Melach of Mimachik, he's smoothing out the leather. So you can only do this to a new shoe, but not to an old one. Says the Gemara, Bema Megarari. So we allow him to do it to a new shoe. What is he going to use? What kind of tool? Amar Ravo. So Ravo is the one who actually presented this halacha, right? It was a Ravo, then a Rav Lezer, then a Rav Yanai, who allowed scraping the old shoe. Now Ravo himself explained, elaborated that he can use Begav Sakin. He can go and scrape the mud, provided he uses the back of the knife, the dull side of the Sakin. Amar Le'ahu Saba. So this elderly Talmud Chacham told him, Samididach. He told the Ravo, erase your quote, your presentation, your halacha, where you allowed scraping the new shoe. Erase that. Mikame ha the Tani Rav Chia. In light of the fact that Rav Chia taught a brisa as follows: Ein megarin loy min al chodesh v'loy min al yoshan. One cannot scrape not a new shoe nor an old shoe. Apparently, in both cases, is a concern of a malacha of a machik. And the Braisa continues, V'lo yosach es ragli shemen. One cannot smear oil on his foot when, V'hu b'soich hamino, when it is present inside, inserted in a shoe, or b'soich a sandal, or in the sandal. Why? Let's take a look at Rashi up on top. So Rashi begins with the word V'hu b'soich hamino. So you can't smear oil while it's already inserted in the shoe, pnei, because shaminol nena mimena, because the leather of the shoe benefits from it, v'nimtza ma'abdoi. This results in a malach of ibud. Ma'abid, he's processing the leather. So therefore he cannot anoint his foot with oil while it is inside the shoe, inside the sandal. Continues the Gemara on the fifth line, Aval sachas ragli shemen, umanich b'secha minol, but he can smear his foot with oil, and then insert it into the shoe, oy b'secha sandal, into the sandal. V'soch kol guf shemen, likewise he can smear his entire body with oil, umisagel, and then he could roll himself al gabi katavlaya on top of this leather mat, v'eini choshish, and he need not be concerned at all. Apparently, when he does it in this manner, only a little bit of the oily residue will be transferred to the leather, in which case, that does not constitute a melacha of ma'abit. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Chizkiya lo yishanu. We only allow him to add the oil to his foot prior to inserting into the shoe. That is only allowed el tzachtzachay. If his intention is merely to add shine to the leather. Avola abdoi, but if his intent and his purpose is to actually process that leather, aser, and certainly it's aser. Says the Gemara, one second, la abdoi. If his intention is to do ibud pshita, of course it's aser. Why do we need a chizah to tell us? Vesu, in addition, letzach tzachoy miikam adeshari. If you maintain that he's smearing the oil on his foot for the purpose of placing it into the shoe to add shine. Mi'ikam on the shari, is there anybody that would allow that? If he has a kavana to do this? Now, although there's no malachim in atur, because he's not actually being ma'abed, he's not processing, he's simply trying to add shine, but midrabanan at least it should be asr. So this can't be pshan Rav Chizkiya. Rav Chizkiya cannot be presenting a halacha here regarding a person who actually has purpose and intent to add shine, or actually to purposely processes leather. Ella, rather, this is how we're meant to learn the halacha of Rav Chizkiya. Lo yishanu, we have not learned this halacha, meaning, certainly this person has no kavana, no intent to shine the leather, to benefit the leather in any way. However, he's putting oil on his foot and then inserting into the shoe. Without really kavana to enhance the leather. Nevertheless, Rav Chizkiya tells us, there's a limitation here. There's a restriction. Lo yishanu, this is only said and allowed. Ella shir lo tzachtzachot. Only if the amount of oil that he's placing on his foot is a small quantity, where even when he inserts it into the shoe, it will only add some shine to the shoe. In this case, it's mutter. Again, we're not speaking about doing it for that purpose. He's doing it simply to anoint his foot, and then he's going to wear the shoe. But if it's just a small amount of oil, then that's okay. Aval ashir la'abdoy asr. Rav Chizkiya tells us, but if he places a large amount of oil, a large quantity on his foot, which will result in subsequently processing the leather. It's so much oil that when he transfers his foot into the leather, it's going to really soak the leather up and process it. In this case, it's asr. Now, Rabban explains that this is not even called a davar sheni miskaven. It's not considered to be a secondary masa, just as a result of his primary intent. He's transferring oil in such a large quantity into his shoes in the back of his mind. Why is he doing this? Because he wants to benefit and enhance the leather. It's called a malacha b'kavana, and therefore it is asr and is a malacha of ma'abit. So in summary, we learned about mud, which is found on all types of things, on his foot, his clothing, his shoe. So regarding the tit, which is found on one's foot, how does he scrape it off? We have one shita which says, do it on the ground. Don't do it on the wall for concern of binyan. We have another shita which says, just the opposite. Scrape it on the wall. That's not considered to be a derech binyan using mud to build. No, no concern. Rather, do that then, rubbing it on the ground, which involves a concern that he might go smooth out the floor. Therefore, he can't do that. There's a shita which doesn't allow either one. And a shita which says, in both cases, it's mutter. Regarding tit, which is sitting on one's beged, the Gemara says he can scrape it off using his nail. But regarding actually scrubbing, rubbing the material against each other, that it could only do mibifnim, on the interior surface of the beged, and not on the outside. Regarding tit, which one finds present on his shoe, now we're speaking about a new shoe, so of a machlekes. According to Ravo, he can remove that using the back of a knife. According to Tani Rav Chiya, he cannot remove it at all. Regarding placing oil on one's foot, of course we're speaking that he has no kavana, he has no intent to enhance the leather. So in this context, If his shoe, if his foot is already inserted in his shoe, then he cannot go anoint his foot with oil. But if it's outside the shoe, so a little bit, Rav Chisda says, just a bit, is allowed, we're speaking that it will not actually process the leather. It's only a shear which will, at most, add a shine to the leather. So in this case, it's mutter. But if it's a large quantity of oil, which will result in the leather actually becoming processed, we regard this as a melacha, and he can't even place it when his foot is still outside the shoe, because he's simply transferring the oil onto the shoe. That's considered to be a melacha of ma'abid. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbana, we learned in the Braisa, lo yetze katan, a fellow who has a small size foot, should not go out wearing b'mil gadol, a large size shoe, because it might fall off, and he'll go ahead and carry it. Aval yetze b'cholot gadol, however, one can go out wearing a large size, an oversized robe, because firstly, it's more likely, more plausible that it's going to remain on him. And secondly, you won't be tempted to remove it and remain without clothing. A woman who's more particular about her clothing, she shouldn't go out wearing a torn shoe, because it's something embarrassing for her. She might go and remove it in Rosh Hashanah. Nor should she use this type of shoe for the mitzvah chalitza. It's not your preferred shoe because it's torn. However, if chalitza was done with this torn shoe, chalitza is a kshera, it is considered to be a valid chalitza. Now, the Mefarshim speak out that we're speaking about only a partially torn shoe, therefore, it is allowed to be used for chalitza. Continues the Gemara. Ve'ein yoitzin b'milna chadash. One should not go out, we're speaking about a woman again, she should not go out wearing a new shoe. Be'ezim minol amru, which shoe are we speaking about? Minol shel isha, a woman's shoe. And the reason here is because since she hadn't yet determined whether it properly fits her, it's a proper size. So therefore, an isha who is particular about the clothing that she wears, she should not go out wearing this shoe. She might realize, hey, it's oversized or it's undersized, and she might remove it in shusarab. Tani bar kapara, lo yishanu. This halacha was only said, it is only a concern, ela shelo yotza bay. Shoa achas boydim. She has not yet tested it for even a shoa achas, a small moment before Shabbos. She had not yet worn the shoe, and she has not yet determined whether or not it fits her properly. Abol yotza bay mer Shabbos, but if she already used it before Shabbos, mutter, then there's no concern. Continues the Gemara. Tani chadi, we learned in one brace. Shomtin minol me'algabe emus. So the emus, some say imum, this is a cast, a shoe form on which they would fashion the shoe. So when the shoe, the minol is still sitting on the emus, on this cast, one may remove it on Shabbos. So this shoe, despite the fact that it's still sitting on its form, is considered to be a proper kli, it's not muktzah. One can move it on Shabbos. V'tani yidach. We found another braisa, ein shomtin. One may not remove the shoe from the form. Apparently, it is muktzah. Says in Merloi Kasha, there's no difficulty. Because each braisa represents a different shita. Hara belezer, hara banan. There's a machlokes whether we should treat this shoe, which is still sitting on the imus, on this form, do we treat it as a completed utensil, as a din kli? This is the Rabbanan Shita. Despite the fact that he still has to pull it off the form, it's considered to be a fully crafted, fully formed shoe. It's Nigmar Malachtoi. It's considered to be a proper kli, and therefore it's not Muktzah. In contrast, with Rabbi Lezer holds that since it's still sitting on its cast, on its form, and some explain, some Mefarshim say, perhaps it's still meant to stay there for a while until it properly assumes the correct shape. So although the removal doesn't require a craftsman to do it, an uman doesn't need to do it, a layman has the ability to move it off the cast, so it doesn't really need to undergo any additional work. Nevertheless, according to Blazer, when it's still sitting on this cast, it is not regarded as a completed utensil, a completed kli. It doesn't have a din of a minol, therefore, it is muktzah on Shabbos. So the braisa which says you can remove it is the Rabbanan, according to Blazer, you cannot. Says the Gemara, this nan, as we find this machlekes regarding Another context regarding halacha of mekabel tumah. Minol shal gabe imus, a shoe which is sitting on its form, Rabbi Elazar mitzair. He said that tzar is not regarded as a kli because it's not considered to be nigmar melachtoi, as though its work was already finished, since it still needs to be removed from the cast. V'chacham metam, and they say it can be mekabel tumah, because since a craftsman is not required, a professional is not required to move it off the cast, they regard it as a complete kli. So this discussion pertains to halachas tumah, and likewise in our context regarding muktzan shabbos. Says the Gemara, okay, so according to Rabbanon, he can pull the shoe off because it's not muktzah. But how is he going to hold this cast in his hand? Apparently the Gemara assumed that he needs to hold the shoe and the imus at the same time. Now this form, this cast, is muktzah because it's designated to be used for malacha. Says the Gemara, ha-nicha, okay, this works well, l'rava. According to Rava, the Amar, who told us, Dova shemalach del iser, a kli which is designated for malacha purposes, bein letzarech gufay. So one can move it if he needs it letzarech gufay to use that object for permissible use. For instance, taking a hammer to crack some nuts, that's called letzarech gufay. Bein letzarech mekami. Likewise, he can move it if he needs the space of that object. So according to Rabbi, who says that in both cases it's mutter, one can move this mukta item, shaper. Then it works well by us as well, because this imus, which is muktzah, it's designated for malacha. He can move it, l'tzarech mekayman, because it's filling the shoe. He needs the place, he needs the space. He'd like to insert his foot in that cavity where the cast is presently sitting. So he needs the makayim of this cast, and therefore he can move it and extract it from the shoe. Elo l'abayim. However, according to Abayim the Omar, who said, l'tzarech gufay mutter, one can move a muktzah item if he needs the actual item itself. He needs the hammer to crack the nuts. L'tzarech mekayma yasur. However, if he merely needs the space of the object, that's not allowed. That's not considered to be a direct use of the object where the chacham allowed the moving of that object. Michael and Meimar. If so, how are we going to explain our Gemara? How can he remove the shoe from the amos? Says the Gemara, hoch my skin. You know what we're speaking about, Barafoy? That the shoe is merely loosely perched on this cast, and does not require him to handle the imus at all. So he simply pulls the shoe off without touching the muktzah. The sanya, as we learned in the Braiser, Bido Eimer, im hayarafi mutter. If the shoe is loose, it's mutter. Says the Gemara, now we're going to ask a question in the reverse. Rabbi Yehuda tells us the only way he can pull the shoe off if it's loose. But if it's tightly inserted, there's a concern of muktzah. What's the problem with muktzah? According to Rava, he can pull out the form because it's a tzarech mekayimah. So now we have a reverse kasha on Rava. Tama the Rafi. So apparently the only reason why he can pull the shoe off, according to the Brisa of Yehuda, because it's loose. Ha loy Rafi loy, but if it's not loose, he can't move it. Ha nichla bay, this works well, according to Abaye. The Amaru said, Dava shemalach tel iser, does not allow pulling the form out of the shoe. Why? Because Dava shemalach tel iser, something which is designated for malacha, for iser, it can only be moved. Letzarech gufay, letzarech gufay mutter, it can only be move it if he needs the actual item. Letzarech mekayim aser, but if he merely needs a space, it's aser shaper. Then this indeed is compatible with the Braisa of Yehuda. So therefore, only if it's loose, in which case he avoids interacting with the cast, he's allowed to pull the shoe off. But if it's tightly inserted, in which case he has to handle the muktzah, it's also because the tzarech mekayimai does not allow the use, movement of the muktzah. El le Rav, however, according to Rav the Amar, who said, that in either case it's allowed. Bein le tzarech gufay, bein le tzarech mekayimai, it's mutter. Ma'ikel le meimar, ma'iri rafay. If so, why does Rav Yehuda need to stipulate that this shoe needs to be loose? Afilu le rafay nami. Even if the shoe is not rafay, it's not loose, there's no concern because he's allowed to manually extract the cast from the shoe because he needs the makayim. Says the Gemara, Hahid Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Elazar. That quote of Rabbi Yehuda that stipulates that the only allowance is when it's roughly is based on the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, who, as we know, holds that this shoe, which is tightly fastened on the cast, is regarded as muktzah. It's not a kli. Comes Rabbi Yehuda and tells us, but you meant to know that if the shoe is roughly, it's loosely attached to that cast, even Rabbi Elazar would agree that it's considered to be a shoe. Because Rabbi Elazar holds, if it needs to be pulled off, it needs to be extracted from the cast, then we regard it as something which its work has not yet been completed. It's not nigrum lachta, but if it's merely perched on it, it's just loosely fitting there. That is regarded as though it's already out of the cast, it's already removed from the cast. It needs to be slipped off. According to Reb Lezer as well, this is regarded as a kli. So that's the understanding of Yehuda. Reb Yehuda tells us that according to Reb Lezer, in this case, it would be different. Reb Yehuda, the sani, as we learned in the Brisa. Indeed, Reb Yehuda, I remember Shum Reb Lezer. So he's basing his halacha on Reb Lezer. He's explaining Reb Lezer. Generally, if it's tightly, firmly fastened on the cast, it would regard it as something which is unfinished and as muktzah. But if it's rough, it's loose, and can easily be slipped off, that is regarded as a kli, and is considered to be non-muktzah. Now, according to Rava, even if it's tightly fastened onto the cast, it wouldn't be a concern according to the Rav Shittas Rabbana, because he can move the muktzah, because he needs the space of the cast. So, in summary, regarding the halacha of shemtin minol ma'agabe emus, removing the shoe from the cast, so according to Rabbi Lezer, it depends. As we just said, if it's loose, then it's mutter. But if it's tight, it's ainit rough, then it's aser, because according to Rabbi Lezer, since it still is lacking removal, extraction from that cast, it's not considered to be a finished product, and therefore it's not makabel tumah, it's not a kli, and it's muktzah. He can't remove it on Shabbos. Now, according to the Shittas Rabbanon, if it's loosely fitting, then according to all Shittas, there's no concern. But if it's tight, then we have a discussion. Rubber holds, there's no concern, it's mutter, because although he has to grab onto the cast to pull off the shoe, that's called tiltul tzorech mekayim, which is allowed. Whereas according to Abaye, he cannot do this because the cast is something which is malachte l'isser, which can only be moved for the sake of using that object itself. As opposed to in our case, where he merely needs the space of the item tzorech mekayim, in which case it would be aser. Hadron Allah Toilin continues the mission. Noitel Adam as Benoi. One may carry his son. We're speaking about carrying him in a closed area, for instance, in a courtyard, a chatzar. So he carries his son, Ve'evan Biyadai, despite the fact that he has a stone, which is Muktzah. He has the Evan in his hand. The Gemara will explain why there's no concern of the father's carrying Muktzah. Continues the Mishnah. Vikalkola, likewise, a person can carry a basket of Evan Besecha, despite the fact that there's a stone within it. The Gemara will explain. One may move around Truma Tameya, Truma which is impure, which is useless. He can carry it on account of the Truma Tahira with it, or on account of the Chulin, the non-Truma, which is with it. The Gemara will explain the meaning behind these halachas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Malinus HaMaduma Be'echad B'meya. So Maduma is a mixture in which Truma fell into non-Truma produce, Chulin. The halacha is, if it's 100 against 1, so if 1 gram or ounce of Truma falls into 100 times as much, the volume of the Chulin is 100 times the amount of the Truma, then this Truma becomes batel, becomes mutab. However, he needs to be mala, he needs to bring out, he needs to take out, extract the amount from this mixture, the amount which is equal to the amount of Truma that fell in. So Rav Yehuda says, one can do this on Shabbos, even though this enables the produce to be eaten, there's no concern of the Misakin, as the Gemara will explain. So again, the words of Rav Yehuda, af malin es hamaduma be'echad b'meya, one can go ahead and be mala, pick out the volume that needs to take out from this maduma, when it has echad b'meya, 101 portions in total. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav, hoitzi tinoik chai, if one carries out into the Shisram, a tinoik, a small child, chai, a living tinoik, v'kis tolei b'tzavari, who has a pouch hanging on his neck. Chayav mishum kis. The person who carries his child with a kiss is liable. He's chayav, not on account of the child, the Gemara will soon explain why not, but he's chayav on account of carrying the pouch. Now, what's the chiddush here? What's the novelty of Rava? Because perhaps we can say that this kiss, since it's being carried by this child, is part of the child. It's bottle, it's serving the child. It's nullified to the child. And as a result, if one carries a child, it's not as though I'm carrying that pouch. The child is carrying it. It's bottle to the child. it doesn't relate back to me, it doesn't reflect back to me. Rava says, no, that's not the case. It is as though the person carrying the child is also carrying that pouch and his chayv. However, tinoik meis, v'kis toloi b'tzavori, if he's carrying a tinoik meis, a small child who is not alive, v'kis toloi b'tzavori, who has a kiss, a pouch, around his neck, potter, then he's completely potter. Explains the Gemara. Tinoik chayv, he carries a tinoik chayv, v'kis toloi b'tzavori chayv of mishum kiss. He's chayv on account of the pouch. What about the child himself? Why isn't that a load? Why isn't he chayv on account of carrying the tinek? Rava Rav Nosson Svirle, Rava holds like the sheet of Rav Nosson. The Omar, who says, chay noises atzmoy, a live person carries himself, meaning he makes himself a bit lighter. Therefore, it's not similar to your typical load, and he is part of a carrying a live person. So there's no chayv on account of carrying a live child. The chayv is only due to the fact that he's carrying a pouch with him. Says the Gemara, what's the problem? Why don't we say that the kiss, the pouch, is bottle, it's subordinate to the child, in which case, we don't reckon with it. Haven't we learned? If one carries out a live person in a bed, he's lying in a bed, and he carries them both out together, not only is he potter, on account of the living person, as we said, there's no chiv for that, likewise, he's potter, for the bed as well, shamita tefelah, because the bed is considered to be tefelah. It is secondary to the person lying in it. Therefore, if you're part of carrying the person, certainly you're part of carrying the bed, which is not an independent entity. It's merely there to serve the person. It's bottled to the person. So you don't reckon with it on its own. So why is this case different? Why is he chayv on the pouch, which is being worn by the child? Says the amita legabechay, mevatile. When it comes to a living person lying in a bed, they are mevatel the mita to that person. Rashi says, he needs it, he's lying on the bed. So it's serving him, it's bottled him. In contrast to the kiss, kiss l'gabi tinek lo mevatli. They don't nullify, they're not mevatel this kiss to the child. Apparently, it's not really something of necessity. Therefore, it's not bottled to him. Rather, it has its own independent identity. And therefore, one who carries a child who has this pouch, it's as though he's directly carrying the pouch and he's chayv. Continues the Gemara regarding a tinoik meis, if he carries this, that child, the kis toleb savari, potter, he's completely potter. V'lechayv v'shem tinoik. Why isn't he chayv on account of carrying the tinoik? Rava k'Rav Shimon Svirle. Rava subscribes to Rav Shimon's opinion. To Omar, ko melacha she'en etzricha l'gufa potter le. If one does a melacha which is not needed for the sake of itself, for its defined purpose, for instance, carrying out the meis, in which case, he's not doing the malach of karim because he needs the object outside. He's simply trying to clear his home of the tumah. So it's a malach being performed shalei legufa. He doesn't need the benefit of the actual malach. He's merely deriving secondary benefit from it. So according to Reb Shimon, he is potter. That's why when he carries this mace, this child, he's potter. And as Rashi explains, that the kiss which is hanging on his neck is also not reckoned with, because in this case of a child who is mace, they are mevatel the pouch to him, the pouch which he used to play with. Rashi says, on account of their bitterness, they're just mevatel to the child. They don't want to really use it at this moment. It's not something which is considered significant at this point in time, and therefore it is batel. And that's why Rabbi says, if he carries out this child, he's potter on two accounts, on account of the tinek himself, who is mace, likewise on account of his pouch. Continues the Gemara. Going to ask a kasha from our Mishnah on Rava. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Noitel adam es benoi ve'even biyadoi. One may lift his child who's holding onto a rock. So certainly we're not speaking about Rosh Hashanah. He's carrying him in a courtyard in an enclosed area. But why can he do this? Isn't he carrying mukta? If Rava teaches us a concept that the person carrying the tinek is considered to be carrying the item which is being carried by the tinek, it relates and reflects back to this person. So likewise, when it comes to muksa, when he carries a child who is holding a rock, it should be reckoned as though the father is actually carrying the rock himself. Says the Gemara, Amrit v'Rabbianai, b'tinek she'yesh le'gayguvin alaviv. Speaking about a unique case, the Chachamim provided a special allowance. A child who is very deeply emotionally attached to his father, yesh le'gayguvin alaviv. In which case, there's a sakana of chayli, he might become ill. become so emotionally distressed, he'll fall ill, become ill, and therefore the Chacham allowed the father to pick him up, to soothe him, despite the fact that he's holding onto a rock. Since it's an indirect carrying of muktzeh, not actually holding the father, not actually interacting with the rock, it's merely indirectly. So an indirect muktzeh is allowed in this case. But certainly this would not be allowed if it involves a melacha minat Torah, carrying shes harab. Says the Gemara, Ihachi. Okay, so if that's the case, Ma'ir Ye'evin. So why specifically a stone? I feel a dina nami. Even if the son is holding onto a coin, why can't the father carry him? If there's an additional concern, you have chayli. Why then did Rava tell us? Lo yishanu. This halacha of carrying a son is only said, Ela Evan, if he's holding onto a rock, Aval dinar asr. But if he's carrying a coin, it's asr. What's the problem? We're discussing muktzah. We're discussing indirectly touching muktzah. He's holding this son. Who's holding this dinar? There's a special circumstance which allows it. So why did Rava say we're limited to a stone, whereas a coin would be asr? Says the Gemara, that's on account of another concern. Evan in nafala. If a stone should drop out of the child's hand, the father would not come, not be tempted to go and get it and touch muktzah directly. As opposed to a coin which has value, dinar, enough, if it slips out of the child's hand, the father would be tempted to come and lift it and directly interact with muktzah. So the concern is a different type of concern. It's not because when he's holding the child, it's also because it's as though he's touching the muktzah. That would be mutter, because it's a special circumstance on account of the child's very deep emotional involvement with his father. The concern by a coin is perhaps that it might slip out, and the father might directly touch the muktzah, in which case there's no allowance, because the heter is merely indirect. If he lifts the child who's holding that muktzah, Chacham allowed it, because it's an indirect muktzah interaction. But if there's any chashash that he might come to actually directly touch the muktzah, then it's us. Continues the Gemara, Tanika Basi the Rava. We have a Braisa which supports Rava's contention that when one person carries another, who that person who's being carried is holding on to something, that object relates back and reflects back to the first person, and we regard it as though that first person is actually carrying that item. We have a Braisa which teaches us this concept. Hamoitzi Kalev Mikupala. If one goes out and just rob him carrying Caleb, his clothing, mikupal, and folded up, umanachamak seifai, folded and placed on his shoulder. He's not wearing them, he's merely carrying them like a load. Misandolov, his sandals, of tabaisav, his rings, biyodai, on his hand. He's not wearing them, he's merely holding them. Chayav, because he's carrying a load. Vimayamalubash, man, potter, but if he's wearing them, in which case, they are bottle to the person, his shoes, his clothing, his rings. So they're bottle to him, and there's no concern. Hamoitzi Adam. What if Reuven carries out Shimon? He's holding Shimon, walking with him out to Shusharab, the Caleb Olav, and Shimon is wearing his clothing. The Sandalov and his sandals, Baraglov, are fixed to his feet. The Taboisav Biyodov, and he's wearing his rings, Potter. Because Reuven is merely carrying a living person, in which case there's no malacha, chayne says atzmoy. And these items, these articles of clothing and rings, are not considered to be a masa because they're being worn by the second party who's being carried, therefore they're bottled to him. However, she'ilu ha'itzion k'moy she'ein chayav, but if Shimon, the one that's being carried, is actually holding on to those garments, k'moy she'ein, he's not wearing them, and Reuven carries Shimon in this manner, then it would be chayav, because these items are not bottled to Shimon, they're like ordinary objects that he's holding, and we relate and we reflect these items back to the person, to Reuven, who's holding on to Shimon. So this supports Rava's chiddush that it is regarded as though the first person is carrying these items. So in summary, we learned that one may carry a son in a chatzar, a son who's emotionally attached to his father, despite the fact that he's holding onto a stone. But if he's holding onto a coin, then it's also. If a child is wearing a pouch and one carries him into Shus Rav, Rava says he's chayiv on account of carrying the pouch. If he carries a tinuk mace with a kiss, then he's pata completely. If he carries a person who's wearing his clothing, he's potter. But if he carries a person who's actually holding on to his clothing, then Reuven, who's carrying that person, is chayiv on account of those garments. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with three different variations of doing something in a non-conventional manner, in which case it's mutter, moving around the straw using his body, crushing the pilpul using the handle of a knife, or causing water to move around in a karmelis. We learned that if one finds mud on his foot, there's a shita that says scrape it on the floor. Another shita says scrape it on the wall. There's one shita that says both are asr, and one shita which allows both. If he finds it on his beged, he can scrape it off using his nail. Can he go ahead and scrub the material to each other? He can only do it on the interior surface. What if he finds it on his shoe? One shita says, if it's a new shoe, he can scrape it off using the back of a knife. Another shita says it's asr because he's smoothing out his shoe. It's a malach of a machik. Placing oil on one's foot, if it is already inside his shoe, then it's asr. If his foot is still outside his shoe, then a bit of oil is allowed, but a lot, which will cause the leather to be processed. That's asr on account of a malach of ma'abit. May one pull his shoe off the cast on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Lezer, only if it's loose. According to Rabbanon, when it's loose, certainly. Rabbi maintains, even when it's tight, there's no concern because he's pulling the cast out because he needs the makim of that cast. We concluded that if one has a son who's deeply emotionally attached to him, he can lift him, despite the fact that he's holding a rock in his hand.